to the preaching, and Miss Farwell, Chris Farwell, she says she'll be here. She's running a little bit behind, but anyway, so it's funny because when I taught this, remember I said, "Oh, my recorder's not here." Well, I got my recorder this time, so I'm thankful that the Lord gave me a chance to preach this again, and maybe had the opportunity to put it on the website. And Luke, you want to stand up and pray for a service for us, please?
Hey, Father, thank you for this day. Doug and them came today. Pray for the service and.
Amen. So we're gonna teach on. I'm gonna teach on the heart, and I'm gonna go, step by step, and we're gonna see what the Lord has to say about the heart. And like I tell everybody, before you guys hear this, the Lord gives it to me. Me and him sit down. We have a good time with this kind of stuff, and I'm very thankful that he would even teach me this kind of stuff. I didn't grow up with Bible in my hand. I didn't grow up going to church or any of that kind of stuff. So when somebody finally told me it's time to start reading the King James Bible, it was like reading, Chinese or something. I have no clue. But I know this, that when I just started reading it, the more I understood it, the more I was like, all right, this is excellent. I like this. And then after I got saved, even before I got saved, I really started studying. I was starting to become diligent in it. The Lord was teaching me things. And then after salvation, I mean, he just opened a whole new door to me, a whole new level of things. And I don't know a bunch of anything, especially compared to people who've been studying the Bible 30, 40 years. But the Lord's given me my own little tidbits. You know, he teaches everyone on their own level, on their own abilities, and then we can go out there and proclaim that to people. You know, that's why he calls us out. You know, it's very important for us to live our lives according to what God would have us to do so that he can use us according to him. Because I tell you, there's a lot of things I'd sure like to do on my own, but I know that it would just not be what God would have me to do. And so therefore, I want to be as obedient as I can. This morning, I almost said the D word, preaching. Sometimes I still have a little bit of that gangster stuff left in me. I mean, I remember one time, it wasn't too long ago, maybe 6 months ago, Tim knows, and I just dropped the S-bomb right there in church. I mean, I'm preaching away, and bam, here comes the cuss word right out of my mouth, you know? And all those years of cussing, man, just it came out in the preaching, and the pastor said, hey, next time, he knows preachers that were like that, and he said, next time you just stop the service, have a quick little prayer, and, move on. But anyway, God is good. I'm going to start in Psalm 51, and I'm just going to read a tidbit of it. Psalm 51, verse 10, and I'm glad to see you here, Tim. When I seen you walking, I thought maybe your dad was here, but I'm glad you're here, It's good, brother. I'm happy. It was sad because on the way here, I said, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We had to leave early to get some gas. I said, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I just realized that John Mark wasn't in church. I said, because it's becoming such a thing that he's not there. That it didn't even cross my mind that I used to miss him. I used to say, man, I wonder why he wasn't here, this and that. And I pray for people like him. Yeah. Because he's got something to himself. He's not just a normal average person out there doing what he's doing. John Mark is a smart dude who's been raised on the Bible. And I'm just telling you, if God ever got a grip on that kid, it's going to be life-changing to a lot of people.
Amen.
To a lot of people. Jesus was a carpenter. John Mark is a carpenter. I'm just saying he's got the smarts for it. That boy's a genius when it comes to that. I've never seen people do the what they... And that's why I had him recheck my measurements to do my counter, right? And they said, once you sign off on these counters, that's what you're getting. And we're like, oh, man. So John Mark comes home. I'm nervous because I have to buy these counters. Once they're cut, that's it. They're mine. I own them. Fit or not fit. Them things fit better than I mean the measurements the way anyway, but I just pray the Lord would step in. And so anyway, Psalm 51 verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." I'm stopping right there. Create in me a clean heart, O God. The word heart is used 765 times in the Word of God. I believe it's important enough to the Lord that he would tell us so many times about our heart. Most of the times, you have to understand, if you read the Bible, most of the times, it's not a good thing when God's talking about man's heart. Most of the times it's not a good thing. There are some good things. But 765 times in the Bible, that's a lot of times for one word to be used in there. And I think it just should drive home the fact that God really wants us to open our eyes to what's in our hearts. To what? How is it really functioning? What is this thing really about? And that's what the Lord gave me. So I'm going to go into it. I shared a little bit at 1 o'clock, but it's going to get deeper than what you guys have heard already over there, because the Lord really brought me in depth on this thing. And so the definition of a heart is a muscle that pumps blood throughout the body. We all know that. It's also the seat or the place of affections and passions, as of love, joy, grief, enmity, courage, pleasure. It's the seat of the will, the secret purposes, intentions, or designs. That's where all that stuff comes from. We say, well, you know, I thought of this. Well, you really didn't think that. Your heart did. Then your mind caught that concept, and then your body put it in motion. You understand? Those thoughts are coming from your heart. Those things that are being conceived, they're coming from your heart. And now you have a choice. What decision are you going to make? That comes to your function of your brain. Are you going to choose this way? Are you going to choose this way? Which way are you going to bring that thing? And then, you're physically, your body, you'll go and do it. Whatever it is, you're going to go and do it. So the heart, I mean, God hammers away on that heart, because our thoughts come from our heart. And God needs each and every one of us, including this guy right here, needs us to see what is in our heart, what's truly in our heart. And most people will not face the fact of what's in their heart. They don't want to see what's in their heart. But when you see what's in your heart, the Word says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of people misquote that, including myself. Ruth Ann called me, and I understood. She said that's not. It's most people want to say it sets you free. It's not set you free. Set you free and make you free are totally two different things. Something that makes you free means it's gonna come. It's gonna happen. It's gonna 100%. It's gonna be done. Setting you free is the point where there is no ending. You can be set free, but it doesn't mean that you're gonna be free. You just set that way. Where make free has the intention behind it that you are going to be free no matter what. And I'm just going to tell you now, I have not been set free. I have been made free. Today I stand here today a free man by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have not been set free by anybody. I have been made free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's the one. So David goes on. We're talking about what's going on. It's the will, your heart. The Bible tells us, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. He looks at the heart and he says, well, that's what that guy there wants, so I'm going to go ahead and give him that's what he wants. When most people are in troubles in their life, when they're in despair and they're discouraged and all that, they will look back at their life and go, gosh, why is my life here? God is trying to take them at that point and show them their heart and say, because that's what you've always asked for. God sees it. God doesn't need to see our hearts. He already knows our hearts. You got to understand, God is not a man. He doesn't think on our level. He doesn't think on our plane. Therefore, he already knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. But he's trying to get us to see the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And when we can see those things, that's when there's a freedom that comes. Because you finally, you know why? Because for the first time in your life, you agree with God. For the first time in my life, I remember out there in 90 and a half East Main Street, the night I got saved, finally agreeing with God. Finally coming to that understanding and that realization, oh my goodness. He's just been trying to get me to see that. Liberating, freedom. From then on, I've been free. I haven't been set free from any of my sins. I mean, my goodness, I still got sin in my life. I'm not perfect. But I've been made free where I don't have that desire to want to sin anymore. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'm good at getting ahead of myself. I got to slow myself down sometimes. So my wife always says, gosh, you know, honey, you'll say something, you'll preach it, and then go back and read it. That's because I lose my place so much, you know. I'm so in tune with trying to want something out that I keep repeating myself sometimes. But why did David ask, create in me a clean heart? Why did he ask? Because David understood what was in his heart. And we find that in Jeremiah 17:9. You've heard me say it before. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? The Lord wants us to learn from our hearts. We were born with this wicked heart. The first time that the word heart is used is in Genesis 6:5. The very first time that you ever, come on in guys, the first time that you ever see the word heart used. Tim, can I get you to read it for me for the third time? Genesis 6:5. Now listen to me. This is the first time that God... that the Bible uses the word heart, and I want you to hear what God has to say about it in Genesis 6:5. Go ahead, Tim.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil.
The very first time the word heart is used, God is saying, we know what's in your heart, wickedness. Jeremiah 17:9 says that it's wicked. God in Genesis 6:5 is showing you, your heart is wicked. How can you do any good? You can't. That's the need for the Savior. That's why we have to have our heart clean like David asked in Psalm 51:10. He said, create me a clean heart, O God. He didn't say, just give me a new heart. And one has to be absolutely created. Why? Because you're born with a wicked heart. You're born with a sinful heart. I'm just going to tell you this right now. When Dale Morey came out of my mother's womb, I did not have to be taught how to do bad. I already knew how to do bad. And I did it for 40 some odd years. Why? Because we're born with that wicked heart. And that's what God is trying to show. He's trying to show. So we see in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, didn't say some, it said every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. Continually. That means in our hearts, we have those thoughts that come in. Even as a saved man, I can still have evil thoughts come into my heart. That's why I need a Savior. That's why I need to be blood washed. That's why I thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from, forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Because even as a saved person, my heart can get some evil thoughts in it. But you know, I thank God for heavenly protection. Because there's thoughts that come in my heart, and I have a choice now. That thought comes into my heart. It used to come into my heart even as earlier on in my Christian life. How are we going to make it? We just don't have the money. If you think for 1 second I can't go out there and still do criminal acts, you're crazy. I haven't lost. I can still go out there and make money. I still know the old tricks. They'll still work to this day. And when we were short of money, I had a decision to make. Am I going to trust my heart or am I going to trust God? Amen. Thank God I chose the latter. I trusted God to get us through. And He did. But you see, God had to create me a new heart. How was that created? By putting those old things in front of me. Allowing them to come to me. What choice am I going to make now? If you think I can't survive in prisons and jails and rehabs and all that at this age, you're crazy. I can do it just fine. Guaranteed I could. I'd miss my family because I finally have one to miss. I'd miss a church because I finally have a church to miss. But don't think I can't do it, because I'm going to tell you this right now. There's not a person in this room who can't do it, because survival mode kicks in. I was a little boy at one time who thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to the big house now. Survival mode kicked in for me. I made it. But God had to create a new heart in me, because God is my witness. And I think I've said it here before. I got out of prison. Amy was here, and she watched me struggle with being institutionalized. For about, a year and a half, 2 years, I struggled hard. I wanted to kill myself. I didn't want to live. I was in mental hospitals. I could not break being inside an institution. I couldn't get over it. She stuck with me through that, and I made out of it. Because I was since a little boy, I've been in and out of institutions my whole entire life. And I was so institutionalized, it had a grip on me. Had a grip of my heart. And I just didn't want to live unless I could be institutionalized. I didn't mind when the cops would say, turn around, put your hands behind your back. I already had my hands behind my back. You want me to put the cuffs on for you? I could do it better than you can. I didn't mind going to jail. I'm going to go see my friends. It was like a vacation. Out here, you got to understand the mentality of those people who've been in for a long time, who have been in and out a long time. Coming out here is just a vacation. They live inside. That's the mentality. Three hots and a cot. I know people who did many, many more years than I ever did. They come out and violate parole a couple months later. Do what they want to do on the outside and go right back in. I said, man, you're in off the quick. Said, yeah, I was just on vacation for a little bit. Just telling you. God had to create a new heart in me. He had to give me something new, something I can look forward to, something I can go ahead and leave that old life right out of the, get out, we don't need that anymore. You know what institution he gave me now? A family. Amen. He gave me a church. Yeah. That's when I'm institutionalized with you guys. And I love it. I love it. I love my life. And already at this early stage of existence, God's seen how wicked man's heart is. So with the sin nature, with our heart, and the devil teamed up, the heart can only be cleaned at salvation because it can only be created and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is a miracle. A miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that takes place at salvation that we can't drum up, we can't work up, none of that stuff. Nothing could have changed. And I'm going to talk about me because all I know is me. I know my wicked heart, okay? But nothing could have ever changed the wicked heart inside of me unless it was a miracle. Okay? And then what hit that miracle's name was Jesus Christ. Believe me, I tried other religions and I've done Satanism and all that, you know, gangs and all that stuff. And you know what it did for me? Zero. Nothing. Not one bit. Jesus Christ came in and gave me a new heart. Made me into a new man. So we see that the heart is evil and wicked. But our heart is where emotions and feelings come from as well. Genesis 27:41 said, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. That was in his heart. And I think I explained it here last week. Murder and slay are totally two different things. He wanted to slay his... That hatred came up out of his heart. That bitterness was in his heart. And he wanted to slay his flesh and blood. Do you think that for one second that we're immune to that? I'm just going to tell you now. Your heart is tricking you into believing, getting you to believe what you think you really are. If you think for one second that you're okay and you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ on your heart, you have serious problems and you need to see it. And there's only one person who can show you that. It's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that showed me that. I'd never seen it before that. But it says, the days of mourning of my father at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob. In this verse, we see the hate Esau had towards his brother Jacob. And with that hate, he wanted to kill his brother. And in his heart, you ready for this? In his heart, he was already guilty of murder. How do I know that? Because we read that in Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. You go, well, that's all actions. Them actions come from your heart. The thought starts in your heart. And then then we think about it, we plan it out, and then our physical bodies go into motion. Jesus Christ right here is talking about the thoughts. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Because what you say is in your heart. And when it's filled with hate and bitterness, it's already what you want. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in your heart? You're going to speak it. You know, Pastor puts it well. He says, when people get drunk or when they get angry and the stuff they say out of their mouth, that's what they really feel about you. It just takes anger and alcohol to get it out. But that's really what's in your heart. That's really what's coming out of you because that's what's boiling up inside of you. And it used to kill me. Because up until I got saved, even after salvation, I would say some pretty hurtful things sometimes. You know what I'd say, Doug? Oh my God. I'd have to almost grab something and go, that's in my heart. That's still in my heart. Let me just tell you this. After salvation, it wasn't like a little pill or a little cloud of smoke puffed up and everything was instantly washed out of my heart. I still had struggles. I still had problems. I still had things in my heart that shouldn't have been there. But God showed me. You know what I did? I didn't run from them. I ran to them and confessed them. And said, let's work on this, Lord, one at a time. Little by little. Am I right? Little by little. Little by little. That's that cleaning that heart up that I talked about. God taking a piece of my wicked heart and throwing it out and replacing it with something he wants in there. The stuff, the filth that I used to call my wife and kids. You'd be shocked if I sat here and told you what I used to say to my wife and kids. Shocked. And then a few minutes later, turn around, I thought I was cool down and go, I love you, you know. She'd look at me and go,
How could you love somebody and do that to them? How? But you know what? I didn't even know what love was myself. I had people tell me they loved me and hurt me in the same breath.
But you know what? God showed me that in my heart. That was a hard thing for me to have to see. But you know what? When I seen it and I agreed on it with God, did I start getting healing? Yes, I did. You think my family started getting healing? Yes, they did. Luke's over there shaking his head because he knows. I'm just telling you now, he's 10 years old. If you think he don't know stuff, because he's been through things. He's been through things. He's been through things. When I was an unsaved person, I would be too embarrassed to tell you the things I used to do in front of that kid. Just trust me. Just think about a wicked heart. And for one second, if you think, and this is what I always tell the teens in my Sunday school, you can go ahead and tell your parents all you want, you're not doing this, you're not pulling the wool over my eyes. I don't believe you for one hot second. You're not pulling the wool over my eyes. I don't want to hear, the people I don't believe is those who do this. That's all they are is talk. I want to see something. Don't talk to me. I went to go visit somebody the other day, and all I heard was this. I don't want to hear it. Didn't faze me a bit. I'm not hearing a word. Let me see something. I believe you still got the old desires in your heart. When you start getting rid of your old desires out of your heart, then you can talk to me. Let me know something's happening. Because you know what? My wife didn't believe a word I used to say until it started happening. My kids. Luke was afraid of me until changes started happening. I'd walk by him. He'd flinch at me. I'm just telling you. Words mean nothing to nobody anymore. Yeah. Words don't mean nothing. Let God change your heart. He's got something for you. Oh, generation vipers, how you speak, being evil, speak good things. God, he's trying to say, you can't speak good things. Why? Because your heart is full of evil. What's in your heart? That's what you're speaking. No matter if you're angry, sad, glad, happy, depressed, drunk, sober, what's coming out of your mouth is what you really feel about that person. Or people, or whoever. Because if not, you wouldn't say it. If not, you wouldn't say it. If not, you wouldn't say it. There's no need to say it. But he says your heart is full of it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You don't have to believe Jesus Christ. This is what I preached this morning, at 1 o'clock at Black Creek. You know why people don't believe that Jesus Christ is God? They just look at him as a man. Therefore, what this Bible says and what he says means nothing to them. And until they start seeing Jesus Christ as more than just a man, they'll never change their life, ever. You can guarantee. You can go to the bank with that. You can go cash that check right at the bank, or what I just said. Until people can see that Jesus Christ is more than just a man, their life will never change. You know why? Because who wants to trust in a man? And I'm talking human, mankind. I tell you this. I had to come to that realization in my life because I had people that would sit there, they told me they loved me, and then they would hurt me over and over and over and over and over and over again. Therefore, I couldn't trust any man or trust any woman. You ask her how I didn't trust women. I didn't trust Ruth Ann. I didn't trust any of them. I had no woman whatsoever because all they did was hurt me. And until I came to the realization that Jesus Christ was more than just a man, I was never going to get saved. Never going to get saved. You know why? Because I always thought that Jesus Christ was after me. That Jesus Christ was going to reject me. That Jesus Christ was going to do the same thing to me that every other person ever did to me. And you know what? He's not. He won't. He doesn't want to do it. That's not his plan. His plan is to what? Give you life. Not only here on earth, but in it for eternity. That's something. I'm going to heaven for eternity. Whether you believe it or not, or whether you care or not, that's where I'm heading. You know why? Because for the first time I've seen that Jesus Christ is more than just a man. He is God. I thank God. But I say unto you that whosoever look upon a woman with lust hath already committed adultery in his heart. Esau didn't kill his brother, but in the eyes of God he was guilty of murder. In the eyes of God he was guilty of murder. How many of us on a daily basis are guilty of something in front of the eyes of God? Now, ex-convict right here. Every convict that I ever met in prison never did anything. We're all not guilty. You can't come to Jesus that way.
You're going to come to him guilty, understanding you're guilty, and he's going to take care of that. It's not like earthly being charged and guilty. He takes yours after you plead guilty to him and you realize how guilty you are for him. He takes and go ahead and gets rid of them. I don't have a rap sheet with Jesus. Ain't that something? I might have a rap sheet on earth here with these people, but I don't have a rap sheet with Jesus Christ. It's gone. You see? I'm happy with that. At least there's one place I don't have a rap sheet, and that's eternity. I don't have to go worrying about going out there and carrying around a 17-page rap sheet with me. Jesus Christ already went and took care of that. And you know what? That earthly rap sheet, I don't even care about that anymore. It doesn't faze me. I lost that a long time ago. I could care less if I ever see it again. My wife wants to get it because she just wants to show people. I could care less about it. Because people hear me talk about it all the time. She goes, I'd really like to get that just to show people. I really don't care. I got nothing to prove to a single person in this room except for one thing. There is hope. That's my proof. That's all I have. I got nothing else to offer you. I don't have anything else to offer you except there's hope in Jesus Christ if you want him. A heart can be stirred up to move, to act out, to do something. Exodus 36:2. And Moses called, names, Bezalel and Aholab, and a wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. And everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. God stirred the people's heart to make them willing to bring sacrifices for Solomon's temple. And God can stir a person's heart in this room tonight. He can stir it up for whatever he wants to be done. I tell you, it's the stirring of what God gave me is why I'm here tonight. I love my friends Carrie and Esther. I do. I try to do what I can. But I'm here because God has stirred my heart. This is where I should be. Amen. And they asked me a while ago. I said, why don't we just pray? She could say, yeah, why don't we pray on it and see what God's mind is on that. I believe he stirred some hearts. He opened this door for me to be here at 6 o'clock. Why? Something I would have never done in my past to ever think that I'm going to stand up here and preach to somebody. I think I told maybe it was you guys this morning. I said, you're looking at a man who is a man now. Wasn't up until 4 years ago. I may look like one, but I wasn't one. You're looking at a man who in every way possible can shape the violence. I can prove how violent I was, and I got witnesses and rap sheets to prove it and all that. And I stand up here preaching the Bible because God stirred my heart. God got in there and took the heart that I used to have, and he started tweaking it. Started stirring that thing up. Thank God Hannah went to your mother's college. And you know what it did? It put a stirring in Pastor John Askew's heart to come meet us on the porch that day. And here you go. Two people got saved since then. I think Debbie Dohaney and whoever else. But what an amazing thing. Because God stirred one man's heart to come in and preach the Bible to us that we get saved. I'll tell you, I was a rough character when he met me 7-8 years ago. Matter of fact, he told your mother to stay in the car, don't come out, when he was coming to talk to me. He told Ruth Ann, don't get out. So he said to her, he said, I'm your pastor. I said, you ain't my pastor. I don't know who you are. I'm John Asquith. If you want a pastor, I'll be your pastor. I'm really not concerned about church. She went. 3 months later, she just asked me. And I used to pick on her. Oh, you're holier than thou, you Bible thumper and all that. And she hated it. She cried about it. She'd go to pastor. And, after a while of going there, he used to say, your wife used to call me all the time and just crying because you're picking on her and saying this to her and so mean to her. And those are the times he'd say, oh, Dale, you're nothing but a godless little wimp to my face. And I'm like, And he said things to me. But you know what it took? That stirred my heart up. It made me look. It made me look at who I really was. It made me look what was really in my heart. Those things that I was saying to my wife and my children and doing it, that was in my heart. That's who I was. And for the first time, I started going, oh. I seen the reason why I needed to be saved. I seen the reason why I needed to have a clean heart. I seen the reason why God had to come in and do that kind of stuff. Because of the wickedness of my heart. And I thank God. Now I thank God. At the time, it was hard stuff to look at. You go ahead, and when God shows you your heart, you really start taking a look at your heart, really? That's hard stuff. If anybody says it's an easy thing, you've missed it. You got the wrong God. That's all I have to say, because I'm just telling you now. Listen, does anybody in here think that being vile and wicked is a good thing, then that's what your heart is. So you mean to tell me that you're looking at it, if you're looking at wickedness and vileness, and you're okay with that, then you missed something. And I know you didn't mean to raise your hand, babe. You want to preach?
I'm just kidding. I seen her raise her hand. She didn't understand the question or what to raise her hand, but he said, a heart can be stirred up to do the things the Lord would have you to do. God stirred the people's heart to make them willing to bring sacrifices to help build Solomon's temple. God stirs the heart of the people to do what he would have. 1 Kings 8:5-8 says that he may incline our hearts unto him. To what? To walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers.
You see, God stirred my heart. Now, I didn't always, you've heard the testimony of me saying that I didn't grow up in a church, I didn't grow up in a Bible, but God stirred my heart to start doing those type of things. John 14:15, Jesus says what? If you love me, keep my commandments. God stirred that up in me to start keeping his word, keeping what he says. I mean, really, doesn't matter what I do. I like to get up and go hunting tomorrow morning. It's turkey season. We call it turkin. And I go turkin. Luke said that. He goes, Dad, can we go turkin? I said, what is turkin? He goes, turkey hunting. But he messed up and he said turkin. So we've been calling it turkin ever since. Anyway, so it gets daylight around, 5:15, 5:30. You can see to get out of there. I get up at 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning to make sure I pray and read before I leave. Then I stay up all day and do what I have to do. But it doesn't matter what I do. God has stirred something up in me that I want to get up there early in the morning and make sure I do my praying and reading. Now that's, right there is a miracle to me. That something happened to make somebody like me want to get up and do something like that. You know what? Most of the time you can't even get a person to read their Bible any day, no matter what time it is. Because it takes a stirring of God. It takes a stirring of the Lord to be able to do that. Because you know what? For the most part, people could care less about that Bible. They could care less about reading it every day. And then they wonder, why am I still in this position? Why is something not happening to me? What's going on? If you don't have the instructions on how to live your life, how can you? People say, well, life doesn't come with instructions. It sure does. It's called a B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. There it is. You have it. Yeah, you have it. You got your instruction manual. Follow it. If you're not a mechanic and you got to fix something, wouldn't you go ahead and follow the book? You want to fix your life? Follow the book. It'll teach you. Well, it's all old and outdated. No, you are. This thing is just as new now as it always has been. Let me tell you, if it's so old and outdated, then what did it do to me? What is it still doing to me if it's so old and outdated? Tell me how. How is something so old and so outdated getting inside of somebody like me? Somebody like my wife? How? Pastor Asquith. How did it get in there and do that to him then? Because it's forevermore. This is what it said. The Bible said his words are forevermore. His words are forevermore. I believe that this thing has just as much power in it today as it ever has. And I don't believe God is playing around. You know why America... Listen, I think I said this last week. You know why America's in the mess it's in? Because God has turned them over to themselves. Go ahead and read the book of Romans chapter 1. And start reading down through there. And it says, because they put God... they changed the truth of God into a lie. That's what it says. Number 2. Then God has turned them over to the lust of their own hearts. Look at America and tell me that's not where we're at. I'm just telling you. A lot of people put up a fuss. Do I even have to say what they're putting up a fuss about? You have no clue about it. And yet you want to tell somebody you know something about it. And I'm just going to tell you now. By the way your life is, you have no clue about it. That's what I'm going to tell you. And I've only been studying the Bible a handful of years. I don't have the knowledge and all that puff of thumb. Thank God I don't have it. But what I do know is that works. That works. God has given me the understanding to be able to read this. What is so hard about these and thous? Do you think it's really that hard? Or are you just making it that hard? It's not hard. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. My kids can read it. My kids understand what's going on in it. And if God could take a brain-dead drug addict like me and give me understanding, sure, he not want it. The thing is, it's not in their hearts. What's in their hearts? The foolishness of this world. People really want to hold on to a religion, live their life any old way they want, stamp Christianity on them, and then go and live any way they want and wonder why America's in the book. Listen to me. Go ahead and look at the polls, people. See what's going on with the sodomites. See what's going on with the child pornographies and all that. And this is how much strength America, because we've changed the truth of God into a lie and called it Christianity, and we're going down quick with no power on us whatsoever. You know why? We're worried about what man thinks of us. People's hearts have changed for the wrong thing, the wrong way. Here's what everybody wants now. And it was including me. Before I got saved, I wanted just an easy, quick fix. I wanted a microwave fix for every single thing. And God, you know what? He don't play that baby game. He's going to make you be a man or woman, face who and what you are, and he'll fix it for you from then on. I'm just telling you the truth. Why? Because the truth will make you free. And if it doesn't, then you're the problem. Then move yourself out of the way. Get out of the way and let God come in. God stirred the people's heart to make them willing to bring sacrifices. God stirs the heart of the people to do what he would want, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. This is what David was asking for when he asked God, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." When God creates a new heart within us, our desires change to start serving him. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "A heart also will I give you, a new spirit, and will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." You know what I used to think? I used to think that having a tough, hard as a rock heart made me a man. More than I said it all the time, constantly. You may have heard it around, but I used to always say, "My heart doesn't pump Kool-Aid. I ain't afraid of you. I'm not afraid of what you can do to me. I'm not afraid of your people. Whatever you think you're going to do or want to do, you go ahead and do that. My heart didn't pump Kool-Aid." And at the start, it was a manly thing to do, to have a rock-hard heart. And now I look back, and my wife would tell you the tears I shed of the destruction that I caused people in life. Destroyed their life. Destroyed every ounce of hope in their bodies. I can name people that I was with who are still in and out of jails and prison today that are women that I turned out to this day. And when I met them, they were good people. They're tricked out, turned out. God forbid. That made me a man. That made me a man to walk away from three children who are all in their 20s now. Because it was okay for me to have a hard rock. I had to be hard. I had to be a tough guy. Where did it get me? It got me nowhere. A life of absolute misery and nothing. I was in the gutters my whole life. I'm not going to do it again, but I gave the illustration earlier today at 1 o'clock. I laid down on the pew, or on the stage up there. I didn't think I was going to get up, but I laid down. I said, "You know where I found Jesus? On my back looking up." None of you have been that low yet. How many of you have been that low where you're on your back, you got nothing, absolutely nothing else. The only thing you have left is Jesus Christ. That's the point I came to. I had nothing else. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. My mother sat back because I started falling back again. I started getting back into the drinking. I was abusing Amy and the kids. I mean, started getting back into some. I was doing drugs again and smoking dope and all that. And my mother, I could just imagine what's in her heart. She was saying, "Not again. Can't do it again. Can't do it again." John Asquith, the Bible, walked into our life. And all he did, he didn't give me a magic potion. He didn't give me a pill. He preached the King James Bible to me and my family. And I'm telling you right now, the power from God came into our lives and has built something that I would have never imagined in a million years happening. I got my reward here on earth. You know what that is? Those three sitting in the front pew. If that's the only reward I ever get, I'm happy. I'm good. Good. Guess where I'm going home tonight? I'm going home to my pillow and my bed that I bought with my money. Driving my vehicles. Huh?
that I work for. I work 10 hours a week because that's what my body allows me to. But I'm out there working. I could collect SSI, couldn't I? I could sit home.
But God also stirred that up in me. I'll tell you this story one day. Old Time Baptist Church, camp meeting. Right before I got saved, probably about a couple weeks before I got saved, he preached on men should be working. Whew. I mean, you want to talk about a blow to the head? I mean, this dude preached, a whole run. And it, I asked Amy, I just said, I got to go, I'll get a job. Has that desire changed since? I've been working since. Because it wasn't too long ago after that that the Lord, I believe the Lord did this. Right after that, it wasn't too long, the Lord pulled my SSI. They no longer would give it to me, but they were making me pay them back because they said they overpaid me, which they didn't. But the Lord pulled all that from out underneath me, and I had to go to work. For the first time in my life, I had to go to work. And I worked, and I started as somebody cleaning toilet bowls. And within a little bit short time, I was a second assistant store manager making good money. See, that was something God stirred in my heart. It's a new heart. You see, he starts replacing the old thing. Starts taking those old things and starts getting rid of them. And he starts putting that new heart within us. And we start doing things so different. Just so different than we ever thought. Then we look back. Even I look back just a few months ago at some of the decisions I made and go, God, what an idiot. Why would I do something stupid like that? Because remember I said John 3:16 said what? Believeth. That's a continual process. And we continue to believe in Jesus Christ that he continues to change our hearts. It's continuing. I remember Amy Pye, no, she got I got excited once. She's like, what are you excited? I'm learning how to write a check. She taught me how to write a check. I never knew how to write a check. My wife taught me how to write a check. She taught me how to love. She taught me how to love. For the first time in my life, I felt love. I was excited. Why wouldn't I get excited over stuff like that? She put up with some... I mean, you don't know the stuff she put up with. And you know what this showed me? She loved me. No, she prayed rather that I would die than her to leave me. You know who I think God seen her, heard her prayer, Tim, and saved her husband so she wouldn't have to get rid of me. But gave her a better husband ever. See that? God stirred the heart up. He knew what he had to do. He had to break this guy. I used to tell her before I got saved, I bow down to nothing or no man. Didn't I used to tell you that? I'll never bow down. I don't bow down to OG. Who's this Jesus? I ain't bowing down to him. If I didn't have problems, I would bow down to him all the time. I won't have a problem with it one bit. I don't care who's watching me. That's a new heart. He stirred that heart in me. That want to do good. You know, I want to do good now. If anybody that I'm out there ever and I work with or talk to or try to help, if nothing ever happens to them, if no life change ever happens, I still want to do good towards them. A lot of times my wife will go, gosh, well, how can you do this or how can you do that? Because I just want to do good. I just am tired of doing the things that I used to do. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't have to be who I used to be anything anymore. And for the first time in my life, I want to do what is right. I don't care what you call me or what you think of me. You want to think I'm weak or a punk or this or that, then you go ahead and have fun with that. Then that's what I'll become. Because Paul said in order to win the Jews, he became like a Jew. That if I got to become like a punk, then I'll be a punk to win you. Huh? I'm just telling you. I want people to see that their life does not have to continually be the way it is. Just because you have a good day doesn't mean your days are always going to be good because you are still the person you are. Remember that. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning being the same person you are. There's two things though. One can be one with hope, like I have hope, or one still without hope. There's a big difference. Big difference. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the new heart. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for the people that have a new heart that are sitting in this room. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you. A heart can be stirred up to do the right thing, but also the bad. We see that in Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination that thought his heart was evil continually.
Take a look at your own thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, and your ways. And you will see why Psalm 110, verse 3 says, "For the wicked boasteth after his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth." What's that say again? The wicked boasteth of its heart's desire. You go ahead and look at your life, and you're only living out what your heart's desire. That's how you're living. You're living what your heart wants you to live. That's what the Bible says. Read it. Psalm 10, verse 3. It said, "The wickedness of man's heart boasteth its desire." You are where you are because that's what's in your heart, and God is giving you what you want in your heart. Romans 1, 24. Go read it. Well, read it.
God's being kind to you. He's giving you exactly what you want. Since you really don't want what He wants, He'll go ahead and give you what you want, and you're going to hate your life, continue to be depressed, continue to be sorrowful, continue to do nothing, and wonder why your life is still that way. Because God has given you the desire of your heart. For 40-some-odd years, I lived with my desires in my heart. I did what I wanted to, and no man was going to stop me unless they put me behind bars or in rehab.
I took your money.
I take your cars, your mom, the women, did not matter to me. I took whatever I wanted at any time, and nobody was going to stop me. Unless it was a bullet, you put me in my grave. And then when I went to prison or jail, wherever it would be, didn't stop then either. Didn't stop then for me either. I'm not going to get into the whole story, but I've told quite a few people. There's some personal things I won't tell.
Let me ask you something. What do you think it did for me? What did it do? Did it put me on a pedestal? Did it make me a millionaire? I mean, did it make me something that was so mighty and big? I mean, what did it do to me to have that heart's desire? What did it do for me?
You know why God would never make me rich, Doug? Because I would destroy my life. You know, I'm okay not being rich. You want to be rich? Have fun with your rich self. You just leave me poor and broken, begging for God for bread, and I'll be just as happy.
We've been to some pretty low places, wouldn't you say, Amy? How are we going to get out of this one?
Oh, man, we're not going to make it.
Pastor puts it perfectly. People hate to trust God, but that's the position we were put in, to trust God. Amen. I told her the other day, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing. I said, Amy, we need to change some thought tactics. Because sometimes we're supposed to trust God. He put us in a situation, and we're trying to find our own way out. And I said, I think it's ruining the testimony. Did I just tell you that?
How will you ever trust God if He never puts you in this, let you go through a situation where you're supposed to trust Him? And then you know what you do? You find your own way out instead of trusting Him. Big mistake. You know why? It's going to keep coming until you pass it. Guarantee it. It's going to keep coming until you pass it. Take a look at your thoughts. He says, "For the wicked boast of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous. Let me just say this. Whom the Lord abhorreth. I mean, he hates it. Hates it. With a passion, he hates it. He doesn't like a human being walking around knowing that they can have something, knowing that they could be who he created them to be, but yet they want to walk around with their own heart's desire. He hates that. And that's why he works so hard. You got to understand me. If you think you're sitting in this room on accident, you're crazy. I'm just going to tell you this right now. God is working on your very heart today, and He wants you to see it. No man will ever make you see what Jesus Christ wants you to see. Each and every person in here individually. It's not. Listen to me. You know how I know that? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If God is not willing that any person in this world to ever die and perish and go to hell, don't you think He'd be kind of diligent in working in your life to show you what you are? I believe He would. I really believe. God is trying to woo some people to Him. I believe He's trying to call them in. That there's 90, what is it, the sheep, the lost sheep. The one gets away, there's 99. Diligently went after that one. You are that one. You are that one. He wants that one. That one is His. And that one is that one that's out there is floundering. He's trying to get them. No, come back. Come back. Come with the 99. Come over. Lady lost her coin. It was lost. She diligently swept the floors and cleaned it up. She was going after that. Because that was hers. It was hers. And that's what God is to us. It's what He does to people. He tries to woo them. Come on. Come. You're mine. He
each and every person in this room. I don't care if you believe it or if you don't believe it or if you care or don't care. There's not a single person in this room that the blood of Jesus Christ was not spilt for. Not one.
That price has been paid, boom, in full. In full. The only way to a clean heart is the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. You say, I says, ye were. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being made free from sin, became servants of righteousness. My heart no longer wants to serve sin, though I do sin. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm Mr. Perfect. I walk on water. Bullets bounce off my chest because I'm super. Oh, no. I fall. Maybe not to the gross things and all that I used to be, but I still fall. But it's not I don't stay there. I don't serve it. I'm not a servant of sin. I'm a servant of righteousness. And only God can make me a servant of righteousness by cleaning my heart. 1 John 1:9. That's my key. It's your key. He says, come out from among them. Live separate. He wants us to be separate. Why? He can deal with us when we don't have our mind clouded with all that garbage out there. He can deal with us. He can teach us that stuff. You don't think God wants to teach each and every one of us? But if I was to take a survey in this room right now and say, how many of you really, 100% in your heart, want to live righteously? The only way you're ever going to live righteous is you got to have a new desire in your heart. With it, you got to have a create. You got to have a created heart. The one you have now, the one that's unsaved, the one that's not washing their blood, can never live a righteous life. It doesn't matter how hard you work or how hard you try to get it. It won't happen. Create me a clean heart, O God. That's what the cry of David was. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is the only way we can ever live our life. He says, by taking heed to what the Bible says, it cleans up the heart and our ways. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Witherall shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why would he say, thy word have I hid in my heart? That I might not sin against thee. I never hid the word of God in my heart. Therefore, I sinned against him. But when I started putting the word of God in my heart, I started sinning a whole lot less. I started understanding, oh my goodness. You know, pastor always says, if you hit yourself on the hand with a hammer and you want the pain to stop, stop hitting yourself with a hammer. If your life is tore up and you're twisted and sick of the life you're living, then stop living in sin. Do something different. Try it out. Because you'd never know. You don't know. You know what? I've had people say, well, I've given that Christian stuff a try. And I've given that. Well, how much studying have you done? How much church have you done? Have you been faithful to it and this and that? No. Then you don't know. You have no clue. You don't even have an inkling. First of all, you have to become faithful to the Word of God. Second of all, you have to become faithful to our church. I'm just telling you now. He says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not play games. Not when you're ready. But when you're going to come on his terms. See, people have this notion that they can come to God any old way they want in their terms whenever. And I'm telling you now, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Dead wrong. You can come to you. You can be sin-laden and tore out the frame and this and that. But you're only coming one way. And that's by the blood of Jesus Christ and no other way. No other way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man is so caught up in religion. They really think that they have something. And they hold on to that with every ounce of their being. And Jesus Christ is sitting there going, no. No. Not another one. Taking heed according to my word. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden not my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The only way you're going to stop sinning against God is hiding his word in your heart. Hiding his word, that's the new created heart, is when that one starts getting in there, and it's like a sponge, and it holds on to his word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Jesus and the word of God is what cleans our hearts. The more we take God's word and put it into our hearts, the more dirt and wickedness that gets washed away. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. First and foremost, you must believe that he is.
And people are just looking at him like he's just a simple man.
God is not going to come. He said, you must believe that he is. If you're going to come to God,
first of all, you got to believe that he is. You have to believe that he is.
I'm just telling you right now, churches are full with people who say they believe in God and their life is live the opposite. They have no clue what it means to believe in God. None. Says, believe who he is, and he that is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards those who believe and those who are diligent in seeking him. This God will do what he does not. Excuse me. God will do what he does, and he is not a liar. 2 Peter 3:9 said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." If you believe in this room tonight, if you believe in this room with your heart that Jesus Christ is God, then you have to believe in your heart that he's not slack concerning his promise. But most people sitting in a church pew know that Jesus Christ is going to fail them. They think that's what's in their heart. They believe he can't keep his promise. They believe he can't keep his promise. Why? You know what they're doing? They're looking at Jesus Christ as man and not God. If I had to trust in man, I couldn't trust anybody with the promise that Jesus Christ gives me. I couldn't trust anybody with my salvation. No man. That's proof that they don't trust or believe in God because they still look at him as a man. He's not slack concerning his promise. Oh, but boy, listen to this. But his long-suffering to usward, not willing to any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You got to be diligent. Why? Because when you're being diligent, Tim, when you're being diligent, then he's long-suffering. Go ahead and cut that diligence off and see how long-suffering is. Watch what happens. God will keep his promise. Your heart will deceive you into thinking he won't. Your heart has failed you and will continue to fail you. God will not. Turn to him and let him clean your heart, as David asked for and understood, and believe that God could and would do it. Just tell me, look at your life in the past 24 hours and tell me, let me ask you one question. How well is it working for you? How well is what you know working for you? I wouldn't trade my shoes to walk in your shoes for 10 seconds of your life. You know why? I came out of that stuff. I've been delivered. I've been given a new heart. And I'm here to tell you, friend or foe, believe me or don't believe me, that it does not always have to be that way. You got to fight what's in your heart. You got to fight what you think you know. Drop it all. Put down the gloves and come to him the way he wants you to come. You'll never get to him your way. And if you don't want him, that's fine. It's totally understandable. It's America. Do what you want. But the next time something goes wrong in your life, don't blame God. Don't hate on him. He didn't do it. It's your choice. He's giving you what's in your heart. Your life is in your hands. God is only giving you what you want. And if you want different, then you're going to have to start searching after what God wants to give you and not what you want. That is the only way. The only way.